Welcome to Believing the Bible with Pastor Scott Mitchell of Grace Family Bible Church. Believing the Bible is a program devoted to rightly dividing the word of truth. We hope you will read along in your Bible with Brother Scott or write down the scripture verses to study later. May you prayerfully and carefully consider the word of God as we study together. And now, here's Brother Scott.
Thank you again for listening today. It's a blessing to me that you listen to the broadcast, and I pray the broadcast and the message is a blessing to you. I want to talk to you about peace today. I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 10, and notice verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." I want to talk to you about peace today, and I want to specifically talk about the gospel of peace. It's called the gospel of peace because it's the gospel of your salvation through which peace was made between you and God. You might be someone out there listening to my voice that thinks that you and God don't get along, or maybe you and religion have had a bad experience together. Well, I don't blame you. I know a lot of individuals that have tried to be religious for many years and just got frustrated because they could see that they could never measure up to the things that religion expects of them. Truth be known, deep inside, these people, and perhaps you, realize that there's just something about you that can't be good enough to measure up. And that matches what the scripture says. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, there's none that doeth good. No, not one. You're going to waste your time trying to be good enough for God to accept you. But I've got good news. God has made peace between you and he, and he did it through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 5. After mentioning at the end of Romans 4 that Jesus our Lord was raised from the dead and was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification, Paul writes in Romans 5 verse 1, "Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." We have peace with God. That's great news to somebody who has no peace. See, sin caused separation between man and the Lord. It says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were enemies against the Lord in our mind and through our actions. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." A child of wrath, that's what we were. God would have been right in destroying me and you, in putting us in the bottom of hell. He would have been just in doing it. Nobody would have said to him, "Lord, that's not fair." Everyone would have seen that it was a right thing to do because we're no good. There's a popular bumper sticker I've seen that says, "If you want peace, pray for justice." I don't want justice. If I got justice, I would be getting what I deserved. And what I deserve is hell and wrath. I want mercy. I want the mercy that God demonstrated at Calvary's cross when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you and me. I want you to notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 18 says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Think about that word, reconciliation. That means to bring two enemies together. Two sides that were at odds with each other have been reconciled, brought together. Well, God reconciled the world to himself. It says in verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. That means God was not holding the world and is not holding the world accountable for sin. There are individuals I've heard preach when some calamity happens, some natural disaster, a tornado, a hurricane, perhaps even the bombing of the World Trade Center, they would claim that's God's wrath being poured out on sinfulness. Folks, that is a lie. If God is imputing trespasses to men today, and that's what he would be doing if he was punishing wickedness through these natural disasters, if through these events and terrorist attacks God is punishing wickedness today, then God lied when he said that he was not imputing trespasses unto the world today. Well, how can it be that God is not holding men accountable for their sins? It's because he made his son, Jesus Christ, to be their sin and to be your sin. He continues in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors. And that's Paul writing to say that we that are saved are ambassadors. We're here in the place of God speaking on his behalf. He says, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Do you realize that God the Father made his Son, Jesus Christ, to be my sin and your sin? He became sin for us at Calvary. He knew no sin, and yet he hanged on that cross as the guilty sinner that you are. He hanged there for my sin. He got the wrath and the punishment that I deserve for my sin and that you deserve for your sin. That was the only way that God could legally not impute trespasses unto the world. He imputed the world's trespasses unto his Son, Jesus Christ. And it says, he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The most unfair exchange that ever could have taken place occurred at Calvary. God exchanged your sin, your guilt, your shame for his righteousness. He imputed your sins to his Son, Jesus Christ, and will impute his righteousness unto you if you will simply believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. You see, you can't be so bad that God could not save you. You will never be good enough to where God would accept you on the basis of your righteousness. But he will accept you on the basis of what his Son did for you at the cross. Back in Romans chapter 5, we read just who Christ did these things for. He says in verse 6, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, peradventure, that means it could happen to pass, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Three descriptions of who Jesus Christ died for in that passage. The ungodly, yet sinners, and enemies. That describes individuals that needed reconciliation. Enemies of God, sinners, ungodly. Until you recognize your need as a person who's lost, doomed and damned, and going to hell, needing a Savior, you have no reason to call upon the name of the Lord that you might be saved. The saddest thing I can think of is the fact that there are people out there struggling for God to accept them, not realizing that He's already done what was necessary to reconcile them unto Himself. God is not mad at you. He has sent the ambassadors of Christ into the world to tell the world He's not mad. He's no longer holding your trespasses against you. What He is doing is He is extending His grace and His mercy to this Christ-rejecting world in the face of the fact that the world does not want anything to do with God. He's pouring out His grace. He's demonstrated His love for you at Calvary. It's not that God loves you and wants this great thing for your life. It's that God loved you and He sent His only Son to die for your sins. He already demonstrated all the love the world could ever possibly need at Calvary's cross. The world just needs to receive it. That reconciliation is so complete that the word atonement is used there in Romans chapter 5. It says again in verse 11, "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Your sins have been atoned for. There's nothing left that needs to be done. They've been paid completely in full. All the sins you ever could commit, will commit, did commit, are paid for. You think about it. Jesus Christ died in the year 33 A.D. Whenever you were born, it was after that time, some 2,000 years. So when Christ died, all of your sins were in the future. Then that would include the ones you do tomorrow. I don't care if it's murder, blasphemy, rape, theft, anything. Jesus Christ already died and paid for all your sins. They have been atoned for, and that is the means by which we have this peace wherein we stand. Peace with God. We have peace with God right now. That peace won't last forever. There is a day coming, and we spoke about it last week, when the Lord is going to take the saved out of this world in an event we call the rapture. While that day may be coming someday soon, you don't want to miss it. Because when the body of Christ, His church, is taken out of this world, His wrath will fall and He will impute trespasses. We will no longer be living in a time or dispensation of grace. We'll be living in a time of tribulation. And you won't survive that if you reject this gospel. Peace with God. That's the peace the world needs today. That's the peace the world has today if they will simply receive it. There's another peace concerning the Lord that I want to talk about in just a moment. That's called the peace of God. But right now I want you to listen to the words of this great old hymn that talks about having peace like a river. Do you have the peace that passes understanding? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that you are reconciled to God, that you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you don't worry about what may happen tomorrow? Do you know that if you died today, you'd spend eternity with the Lord? Why don't you trust Jesus Christ right now so you can have that peace that is being sung about in this song?
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast.
It is well with the soul of every believer who knows they have a Savior and knows the peace they have with God. As Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Paul committed his salvation to the Lord Jesus Christ. He quit trying to be something, and he trusted in the finished work of his Savior. Why don't you do the same thing? And when you do that, you'll not only have peace with God, the peace that is in the soul, but you can have the peace of God. And that's something else altogether. Every saved individual has peace with God, but not every Christian lives their life with the peace of God reigning in their hearts. I want you to notice in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing." That means don't worry about anything. "But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Beloved, if you're out there and you know you're saved, but you've got troubles in your life, worries, and you're just not at peace concerning things in your life, perhaps you need the peace of God. That comes, first of all, from understanding that everything you pray for is not going to happen the way you want it to be. You see, prayer is dispensational. We don't know what to pray for as we ought, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, but the Spirit of God helps our infirmities, and it makes intercession for us. You may be praying for something, but the Lord doesn't want you to have that because there's something better He has prepared for you. The peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and mind if you will lift up those things to the Lord in prayer and let Him have it. So often we as Christians pray for an answer to a problem, and then we take that problem right back from the Lord and we put it back on our own shoulders to burden it ourselves. The other problem we seem to have is that when we speak to the Lord in prayer, we never listen to His answer, and His answer is going to come to you through His Word. It's a dialogue, see? We speak to the Lord in prayer. He speaks to us by His Word. He's not going to come whisper in your ear or show you some mighty sign or miracle. He's going to speak the things in one accord with the Word of God. After you pray for something, do you seek the answer in the Word? Do you prayerfully study the Word of God rightly divided? Or are you spending all your time continuing to worry, continuing to look at the circumstances, or just filling your mind up with things that are not edifying? Television, news, events around you. Paul goes on to say in the same chapter of Philippians, verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." What do you put your mind on? Are you thinking on the things that he mentioned there? And by the way, where do you find the things that are true and honest and just and of good report and pure and lovely, where do you find virtue and praise? You find it in the Word of God. Paul says in verse 9, those things which you've both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Perhaps the reason that the peace of God, and hence the God of peace, isn't with you in that which you're doing is because you're not doing the things that Paul wrote and told you to do. You realize Paul is your apostle. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. He told Timothy to hold fast the form of sound words which he had heard of Paul. There's a lot of people listening to the sound of my voice that wouldn't know where the book of Ephesians or Colossians is in their Bible, but they could find Matthew. They could find John. But you know what? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John aren't even written to you. They are for our admonition and learning. They are Scripture. They are the Word of God. But they're not the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ today. Hence, if you went in there looking for peace, you wouldn't find it. Do you realize that Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 10, I came not to bring peace, but a sword? The peace which passes all understanding is only going to come when you allow the Word of Christ to dwell in your heart richly, to meditate upon those things that are pure and lovely and just. And that's all the Word of God, but particularly the Word of God to you. The way to walk, the way to live your life is found in the letters of Romans through Philemon. Paul wrote 13 epistles, more than any other man that God used to pen the Scriptures. 13 epistles from the 13th apostle who was sent forth to preach to Gentiles in Acts chapter 13. Coincidence? I don't think so. By the way, Paul was a Benjamite. Benjamin was the 13th child of Israel. That's just too many coincidences for me. 13 is the number of rebellion in your Bible. God chose a rebellious, blaspheming Jew named Saul and sent him to the rebellious, blaspheming Gentiles like you and me with the gospel of grace, with glad tidings, the gospel of peace. We have peace with God, and we can have the peace of God, the peace that passes all understanding when we turn over the cares of this world and trust the Lord Jesus Christ and study and meditate upon His Word rightly divided. If you know you're saved, but you don't have peace, perhaps it's because there's something you don't know. You don't know the truth of the Word of God rightly divided. You've been going to some church somewhere, and they've been teaching you out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you're not getting fed. You're not getting filled. You're not getting edified. Maybe they have great praise music. Maybe they scream and shout from the pulpit, but you're not being taught the things that are sound doctrine. Only with those things will you have the peace that passes understanding. The things that Paul wrote down for you are the things whereby we can have that peace. In Paul's letters, we find that we're going to be caught up out of this world and delivered from the wrath to come. Are you one that believes we have to go through tribulation? There's no peace in that. There's no comfort. In Paul's letters, he says that my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Are you one of those that are living the prosperity gospel, thinking that God has to bless you with riches in order for you to be accepted? It's never going to happen. God said He would supply all your need. Are you one of those that believes that you have to maintain good works or God will send you to hell and take away your salvation? You don't understand the fact that Paul said you're sealed by the Spirit of God until the day of redemption. Are you one of those that is putting your faith and trust in rituals, in ordinances, in keeping commandments in order that you can be saved? You don't understand that Paul said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Peace comes through understanding. Understanding the will of God for you, written down in 13 letters of your Bible, My aim is to study those books and to show you the truth rightly divided so that you can have the peace that passes all understanding. I hope you'll join me again next week. Thank you for listening, and may the peace of God be with you. You've been listening to Believing the Bible every Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m. on 1580 KWED. I'm Brother Scott Mitchell with Grace Family Bible Church. I'd love to hear your thoughts about the program, whether you agree or disagree. You can write me at Scott Mitchell, 17 Cherry Hill, Seguin, Texas, 78155. If you would like more information, you can call me at 305-0119. May the Lord Jesus Christ open your eyes, and may the grace of God be with you all.